The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Peter asks about the limits of forgiveness, Jesus responds with a parable that suggests human forgiveness should mirror the unlimited mercy of God. I begin reading at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. And I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Well, how are y'all this morning? Good. I brought some things to show you today. And we sang about this in one of our songs, like, we are the apple of God's eye. Well, I have this. What do you think this is? An apple. Is it a big one or a little one? It's pretty big. You know, my neighbor has some apple trees, but she doesn't ever have any apples that are this big. She has other apples that are mostly small, like this. Does this look like an apple to you? Yeah. Do you like apples? They're nice and juicy and sweet. Well, which one of these apples do you think would taste better? The little one? Okay, I think so too. Sometimes things can fool us. They look so good on the outside, just like this big old pretty apple, but they aren't real. They're different than we think they are. This isn't really an apple. It's a gourd, and it grew while it was growing. Somebody made it shape grow in the shape of an apple, and then they painted it red, and it looks like a big apple, doesn't it? But it's not real. If we would cut it open, it would be hard and dry, and it wouldn't taste good at all. Do you think? No, it wouldn't taste good. Well, I have something else in my bag to show you. I know you'll know what it is. And it never fools us. What is this? The Bible. The Bible is God's word. And all of it is true. All these stories in there that he tells us, things he tells us, it's all true. And it says God loves us. He loves us all the time. Sometimes we do things that aren't good, don't we? We call that sin, right? And God sent someone to save us from our sin. Who was that? Jesus, yes. He died on the cross to save us from the bad things that we do. You know, and he never fools us, but the devil, he tries to trick us and say, oh, it's all right if you don't want to obey your mom or dad, or what are some other things that he tries to make us do, tells us to do. It's okay. If you don't share your toys, or if you say bad things about somebody, and you say, well, they said bad things about me, but that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to forgive. Because he forgives us. So remember, Jesus loves you, and that's as real as this apple, because he loves you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for always loving us and forgiving us. Thank you that we know everything in our Bible is true, and that you really love and forgive us. Everything in the Bible is as real as these apple slices I have to give all of you. They're not from that apple, they're from other apples. So I'll give you one. Everybody come and get one, and then you can go sit down at your... And these will be juicy and good. Take one.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've noticed already this morning, all of our scripture readings are about forgiveness of one sort or the other. The Old Testament lesson was the story of Joseph and his brothers. After their father Jacob had died, the brothers were worried that Joseph would retaliate against them because his brothers had sold him into slavery. But Joseph says, do not worry. Even though you intended for bad to happen to me, God intended it for good. And because of that, Joseph became the overruler of Egypt and was able to feed people who would starve during that time of famine. The psalm this morning also speaks of forgiveness and gives praise to God for his wonderful forgiveness. The second lesson talks about God's judgment, or that we are not to judge, that the judgment leaves up to God. We are not to judge, but rather we are to forgive. We are to get along and restore relationships with our neighbor. And then our gospel lesson this morning starts out with Peter asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? As many as seven times? And Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 77 times, or as some other interpretations go, seven times 70. And then Jesus continues with the parable. Now this morning, rather than just talking about forgiveness, I'd like to do something a little bit different. I'd like to tell you a story, a little bit more modern story, kind of puts a modern twist to this parable that Jesus taught. As Travis sat in jail, he was thinking to himself, how stupid am I? How could I do such a stupid thing? What was I thinking? Travis was 16 years old and one of the better athletes in his class. Earlier that evening was their last football season of the year, and it was against their arch rivals, and Travis played an important part in winning that game. They weren't supposed to win, but they won. Particularly help came from Travis, from the great plays that he made during that football game. The whole school was ecstatic with excitement and with joy. Everybody was going wild. And after the game, some of the seniors came up to Travis and said, hey, why don't you come over to our house after we get cleaned up? We're going to have a little get-together over there. Travis felt honored. The seniors had recognized him. He thought that was pretty prestigious to be invited to be a part of their group. He knew that they maybe had a reputation for the use of alcohol, but he wasn't going to let that thing concern him. So he called up his parents, And he told them where he was going to go, and then he went to join the celebration. Travis was one of those kids who knew better than to get into big trouble. For sure, he wouldn't mess around with drugs or alcohol, not only because it knew that it could mess him up, but also that he loved his extracurricular activities. He loved playing the sports in school. And if he got involved with those things, he wouldn't be able to play. Well, as Travis arrived at that senior's house to the celebration, the first clue that there was going to be trouble was that there were no adults around. The second clue that there was going to be trouble was the heated pool in the backyard. The next clue to trouble was so many people starting to pour into the house and into the yard and to the backyard and around the pool. And the fourth clue was the free flow of alcohol at the party. Travis thought that he could handle it. After a few drinks and after rehashing the night's win, the party turned raucous. It went wild. All the noise going on, the loud music that started to play, all the loud laughter, the screams and the shouts, and people were being thrown into the pool and the yelling, all going on, and it was a great party, except that everybody in the neighborhood could hear it going on. And that's where the problem was. One of the neighbors did not like all the noise going on in their typically quiet neighborhood. And so he called the police. When the police arrived, all the kids scattered, all except for some who didn't scatter fast enough. And they were rounded up and they were taken down to the police station. Travis was one of those who was taken to the police station. As he sat there in that police station, waiting for his parents to come, he kept thinking to himself, how could I do something so stupid? What was I thinking? I thought that I could handle it. What are my parents going to do to me when they get here? What are my friends going to think when they said I've been thrown into jail? Travis' parents finally arrived to come pick him up. And they were able to get him out of the police station without any files being charged. And as they were taking him out of the police station, they said, we're not ready to deal with this tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. They asked him, first of all, though, if he was all right, and he assured them that he was. They got in the car, and they drove home in silence. That night, nobody slept very well. His parents were worried about Travis and worried about themselves. Where did we go wrong? What did we do wrong? We thought that we had raised our son better than this. Travis kept thinking how stupid I am, and why did I ever try to do anything like this? And what are my parents going to do to me? The next morning, Saturday morning, they sat at the kitchen table. And first of all, the parents wanted to hear his side of the story. They wanted to hear what went on. And Travis came clean. He told them everything that had taken place, about his knowing about these kids' reputation. He told them about the signs that he saw and that he probably should have turned around right at that point and come on home. He told them about the loud music and the laughter and the shouting and the yelling and the pool and no adults and the alcohol as well. His parents asked him, what were you thinking? What were you thinking at the police station? And he told them that, you know, at the party, things just got out of hand. I thought that I could handle it, but one thing led to another. At the police station, I was thinking how sorry I am of how stupid that was for me to act. And I've learned my lesson from all of this. His parents were amazed at his sincerity and also that he came clean and out of his maturity and being able to tell about it and of his reflection of what went on in this. And they told Travis, we think you have learned your lesson from all of this and we don't think you're going to do this again. And because of that, we're not going to do anything to you this time. We think you are growing up, you are maturing because of this experience. We're going to let it slide. But if anything like this ever happens again, the punishment will be severe. That lifted Travis' spirits a bit, and he got up to walk away. But his father said, even though we've let you off easy, you still have the music to play at school. You know the UIL has rules concerning these situations. You will probably have to miss a couple of weeks of basketball. I know football season's over, but you'll probably have to miss several games of the basketball season. Travis hadn't remembered that. He hadn't thought about that. And that hit him pretty hard. Basketball was his favorite sport. He loved to play basketball, and actually that was his best sport that he could play. And he hated the fact that he was going to have to miss part of the season. What would his friends think as well then too about that, of him having to sit out? And he let down his teammates. They were expecting him to help lead the team. And his coach as well would be disappointed in him. Travis left the kitchen, went outside to shoot some hoops out in the driveway, brooding about this. About that time, his younger sister, Tracy, comes riding up on her bicycle, just coming back from an early morning volleyball practice. As she rides up into the driveway, and as she gets off her bicycle, she says, "Hi, Trav." And Trav, still in a sour mood, turns around to give her a drop-dead look, and he sees her, and he goes ballistic because she is wearing his favorite San Antonio Spurs sports jacket. And he starts yelling at her, "Haven't I told you I don't want you wearing my clothes? And haven't I especially told you I don't want you touching my sports stuff? And haven't I especially told you never to wear my San Antonio Spurs sports jacket again?" And with that, he kicked her bicycle and sent it skittering down the driveway almost to the street. His parents heard the commotion going on, and they got to the front window just in time to see Travis' foot connect with that bicycle and to see Tracy running into the house crying and Travis stalking off angrily. A single tear rolled down the father's cheek. "I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.